Welcome to the Modern Yogi Podcast. An exploration of ancient wisdom.
Hello, hello, everyone.
Welcome. We are on episode number
89.
It gets weirder and weirder.
Yeah, yeah. I love
it.
It's going to make up some random.
It's going to
be random
every
time. 89.
Nice. Nice.
My name is Shama Sangeeta.
My name is Priyadarshini.
And my name is Shamali.
And we are on chapter 11, text number 9. This is a cool chapter, the universal form.
Yeah. Where did we leave off last time, ladies?
Literally the climax. Like literally.
Literally.
The best part where Krishna is showcasing his universal form to Arjuna.
Yeah. So he's been talking. Arjuna asked, and then Krishna was like, okay, sure. But in the last text that we read, he actually said, behold my mystic opulence.
Yeah. And then revealed it.
Yeah. We also learned by Prabhupada that it's not that this is like the ultimate goal in life. It's not like that's like, oh, that's what we're trying to achieve, to see Krishna in his universal form. In fact, that's not really our goal at all. This is just like one aspect of Krishna, and Krishna has so many wonderful aspects. The reality is we want to see Krishna for who he is, as our friend, as our family, as our guide, all of these qualities of him, kind of the godless qualities.
He said the godless opulences or something like that.
Right. Just like the human raw
loving nature
of Krishna and our relationship with him.
Wow.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah. Because in bhakti means love. What we're striving for is that loving interaction, and Krishna values it and wants it from us so much so, to the point that he almost like in a way makes his angels in heaven forget his own divinity. And he quote unquote forgets it himself so that he can have these spontaneous loving interactions.
Yeah, for sure.
And another thing was that Arjuna can't just see with his normal, regular, frumpy eyes. You know, I'm not frumpy, but you know, I mean, it's like
Arjuna's
normal
frumpy eyes,
like regular man eyes, right? Like Krishna had to give him like a VR headset, where basically like a divine VR headset, so that he is able to see actually the divine form, the universal form.
And it's interesting because they talk about devotees aren't concerned, like Priya was saying, with seeing this universal form, and what you're talking about, Krishna gave him the power to see it because he knew that Arjuna didn't particularly want to see it. So it's kind of like the leader who doesn't want to be the leader is the best leader, you know? So Arjuna didn't want to see the universal form.
I mean, he did kind of ask to see the form.
For our sake, because in the ending of text, that's literally the last line of the purport of text 8, Prabhupada says, the Lord gave Arjuna the necessary power to see his universal form because he knew that Arjuna did not particularly want to see it, as we have already explained. Yeah, you're right.
He asked
for it. But I think the disclaimer is, I'm fine with not seeing it for myself. I believe you, Krishna, but I don't think everyone else may in the future.
Do it for the listeners of the Modern Yogi Podcast.
Do it for the listeners.
Very specifically.
You got it.
Just those guys.
And he wanted to confirm for future generations. And I thought such an interesting line of purport of text 8 was saying, Arjuna wanted to confirm this because I had kind of forgotten this fact that Arjuna is actually the beginning of the parampara system. Mm. He's the beginning of teacher-disciple.
The new beginning.
Right,
basically.
Right. What does that mean, Priya? The new beginning?
Well, I mean, the parampara every now and then breaks. And
right.
The parampara, like she was saying, is the teacher-disciple meaning. Someone speaks the words of Krishna, and then that person takes those words, learns them, understands them, and then speaks the exact same words without manipulating them or changing
deviation.
For their own, you know, pleasure benefit. And so that continues on and on. So here... Right. Krishna is directly speaking it to Arjuna. So the cycle starts again. And then from Arjuna will be another person. And that's how we get our own gurus, right? They're all connected back all the way to Arjuna and Krishna.
The lineage.
And that's a good point. Reinstated the parampara, because this has been in existence from time immemorial. But like Priya said, sometimes it breaks, it gets lost. You know, we're in the material world. Humanity takes over. So Krishna comes to reinstate it. And I loved that, because like Krishna and Arjuna are such a duo, you know, that here it says, I just love how Prabhupada worded it. Those who are actually interested in understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, and who follow in the footsteps of Arjuna should understand that Krishna not only theoretically presented himself as the Supreme, but actually revealed himself as the Supreme. So that just yeah, I don't know. Imagining
I see what you're saying. You're saying like he not only said, I am the supreme, and he said, let me show you.
Yeah, let me show you. And I just love the thought of we're also following in Arjuna's footsteps. Like I don't often have that thought present. Like I'm following in the footsteps of my gurus. But no, we're also following in Arjuna's footsteps as the great disciple, the great devotee.
That. That's wonderful. Beautiful. And so that would be a recap for the last episode we just did.
Yeah.
And
now we're moving on to chapter 11, text number 9. But before we do so, ladies, will you grace us with the invocation?
Yes.
Nice. Oh, Mayana de Miranda.
From the top.
Let's try that again.
Take two. Beep.
Oh, Mayana de Miranda. Gyananjana Shalakaya. Shakshurun militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha.
Translation. I was born in the darkest ignorance and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torch of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto them.
And that's literally what happened. Krishna opened his disciple Arjuna's eyes with the torch of knowledge for real.
Love it. All right. Chapter 11, text number 9, Priyadarshini.
Sanjaya said, wait, we read this.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We jumped ahead, remember, to get back to the purport.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're like, we should still read it just a second.
Okay. No problem. I was like, wait a second.
Yeah.
Sanjaya said, O King, having spoken thus, the Supreme Lord of all mystic power, the personality of Godhead, displayed his universal form to Arjuna.
That's just mind blowing. Wow.
I just, what? For some reason, the way that was phrased, it made me think of like, I don't know what the right terminology might be. You know, like those fights where they're like luchadors or like those right. cage fights where they go meet in the rank.
And like
then they
Nacho fight. Libre.
Yeah. And then usually they're introduced like, all right, behold the Supreme Lord of all mystic power, the personality
coming to the
Godhead,
ring,
coming to the ring to inform everyone. And then everyone cheers.
Krishna, 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 Krishna.
That's what it reminded me of.
That's awesome.
Very nice.
That's really cool. So everyone, just so everyone remembers, Sanjaya is the secretary of King Dhrishtrashtra.
Evil D.
Evil D, right? And Evil D is the...
Say Evil D's full name.
Dhrishtrashtra.
Yeah. Oh, nailed it.
Dhrishtrashtra. You knew I can't say that.
I know. That's so mean.
That's
sorry.
Like the meanest thing you can do, Shalvin. You knew from chapter one that I could not say the word Dhrishtrashtra.
I'm sorry. Let me ask you, when I mispronounce a word, do you let it slide or do you ask me or
no,
do you point it out?
No, when Priya mispronounces a word, adolescence, we like hone in on it.
So I'm just defending Priya's honor, if anything.
anyways.
I love it.
Bring it back.
Bring it back. Sorry, Mom.
Yeah, your mom loves me, okay? She would be really mad at your bully.
Anyways,
Sanjaya is the secretary of King D. Dhrishtrashtra, and he is the father of the evil side, the Kauravas, right? Uh-huh, uh-huh. And remember, King D is blind, so he can't see what's
evil
going
D?
On. Evil D, sorry, evil King D.
Oh my
King
goodness.
Evil D.
Dear Lord.
Evil D is blind, so he cannot see what's happening on the battlefield with Krishna and Arjuna. So his secretary, Sanjaya, who has this divine vision, is like basically narrating this entire conversation to Evil D.
And to be clear, his divine vision is very limited. It's only like he can see things that are happening not in front of him and like all of that, but it's not like he can see Krishna.
No. So like Sanjaya has like, you know, those like little glasses that you get at the movie theater that can help you see 3D. Like he has the crappy paper glasses.
They'll explain it in
it's not the same quality.
Arjuna has the VR headset.
Yeah. It's not the same quality as Krishna's divine vision or Arjuna's divine vision, but he can see things.
He just has like a cool psychic power.
I feel like Abhijit wants to say something.
Abhijit?
I see it in his face. Do you want to say something?
Yeah. So Vyasadeva came and gave Sanjaya the vision. So Vyasadeva is famously the author of the Mahabharata, which the Gita is a part of.
Right.
And also other literatures like the Vedas, the Srimad Bhagavatam, etc. And he is a sage, so he has powers.
Perfect. Mm.
And sage he gave his sage vision to Sanjaya so that Sanjaya could view the battlefield and narrate to Dhritarashtra.
Oh, was it only for the battlefield?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a limited time offer.
Nice.
That was only applicable for that war.
And actually, you told me something, Abhijit, before we went on air about, was he originally going to give it to someone else first, not Sanjaya?
Right. So actually, Vyasadeva came to the king's court And he was like, all right, we're going to have a mega colossal war of the ages. And you might want some real-time updates. You know, so he goes to the king, Evil D, and says, I know you're blind, but I can grant you this temporary power to see what's going on.
Oh, he was going to give it to Evil D.
Yeah.
Yes.
Ooh. So he could see.
So that the blind king could have the vision for the purpose of watching what would happen.
Why didn't he take it?
So he didn't take it because the king was like, well, I was born blind. So I wouldn't even know who I'm looking at.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
self-aware.
So
interesting.
Very self-aware.
That's kind of crazy because like if you're blind and someone's like, here, you can see, you'd be like, you know what?
Yeah.
I'll just look at it. It's okay.
Yeah.
Like, he was like, no, I need to update everybody else. I don't know who's who. So let me just
He's like, I don't know any of the characters anyway. So like, I'm going to zone out if you give me this power.
That's why he said to Vyasadeva, you know what? I'm not going to take the vision, but you can give it to my assistant Sanjaya.
Wow.
Because he knows them and he can tell me everything.
And you said Sanjaya was a disciple, right? Of Vyasadeva?
Yes.
Wow.
That's fascinating fact.
So interesting. So the disciple or the guru gave his disciple like this deep vision.
Wow.
So amazing.
Yeah.
Limited time offer.
Thanks, Abhijit.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay.
Right. Very nice.
So, okay. So we're all on the same page, right?
We're all on the same page.
So we're actually, you know what's fascinating? I kind of like these little jump cuts, right?
Yeah.
Because so much of the Gita, maybe like 99% of it is Krishna and Arjuna talking, right? And then we get back to the very start of the Gita where like Sanjaya is telling his king like what's happening. And then now it's like a jump cut back to that original story.
You forget it's a story within a story, like a conversation within a conversation. And now we're having a conversation about the conversation within a conversation.
Hi-o.
Hi-o. Also, you know I love you and how you pronounce it is perfect.
Thank you.
I butcher Sanskrit actually way more than that.
Okay, moving on.
Let's just
make
fun of Priya.
We can apologize after this.
Okay. Wait, anything else on text 9?
No, there's not no purport on.
Yeah, there is no purport. Oh, okay. Thank God, let's go on. I mean, so sad. No purport. Okay,
moving on.
All right, now the next text is a combo text.
Combo
text 10 and 11.
10 and 11.
Shama Sangeeta.
All right. So, I guess this is Sanjaya still speaking.
Yes, Sanjaya's going to speak for a little bit now.
Oh, Sanjaya's going to speak for a little bit now.
Okay.
All right, he says, Arjuna saw in that universal form unlimited mouths, unlimited eyes, unlimited wonderful visions. The form was decorated with many celestial ornaments and bore many divine upraised weapons. He wore celestial garlands, and many divine scents were smeared all over his body. All were wondrous, brilliant, unlimited, all expanding.
All expanding. What does that mean? Like constantly in cycle of being expanded?
It's just getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger.
Whoa. But I also think it just goes to show that Krishna has no limit. I think that's like the whole idea by saying many hands, many mouths, unlimited.
Right.
Like this is like just like... He's limitless. And I think that's kind of the picture he's trying to show.
Yeah. Can we just give a small shout out to Sanjaya? Because if this is his storytelling ability,
literally,
could you imagine how he's narrating this entire thing?
That's amazing.
You know?
Ooh, yeah.
Like this just gave me a glimpse of like, oh my God, Krishna has so many mouths, so many eyes, so many this and garlands and garments and scents and all this stuff. And it's like really descriptive storytelling. So shout out to Sanjaya.
Wow.
Because
Prabhupada acknowledges
all
that
of this. Yeah.
In the next purpose.
Shout out to Sanjaya. That's amazing.
Yeah.
You're right. Like I'm visualizing what you're saying. Like he's, you know, we're reading it and we're like, oh, Krishna's saying this to Arjuna, but no.
Yeah.
Sanjaya is watching Krishna say this to Arjuna.
Yes.
Like if we had to put to words when we're seeing the universal form, we'd be like,
Exactly. We'd be like, ooh. And then, but he's like, Sanjaya is literally using the most descriptive, beautiful words to describe this.
Oh my God, you know what? Sanjaya is applying all of the previous texts of the Bhagavad Gita, staying equipoise, level-minded, blah, 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 all the steps we've talked about to be able to even describe that.
Yeah.
He was, it's all coming together. Yeah. He was like the most qualified then devotee to be able to even do this. It takes a qualified soul to be able to.
Ooh.
And Evil D, maybe it was not, it all worked out the way it's supposed to work out.
I'm so curious. Like now I want to know more about Sanjaya and like what his life was like.
Right.
Like, what an incredible benefit to see the Bhagavad Gita spoken directly through your eyes.
Wow.
Like, and then you can also see the universal form.
And they say,
ergo.
Yeah. Ergo?
Ergo, he can also see the universal form because of his gift. That's kind of beautiful.
Wow. That's amazing. He's the only other person other than Arjuna that got to see that in that moment.
That is so true. I love teasing this out with you guys. Like when you just kind of read through it on your own, it's so different. But the more we think about this, there's so many layers that you can think about that aren't explicitly written there. Because it's so true that Sanjaya was the only other person, other than Arjuna, that literally
could see it.
Could see it.
Yeah. Shout out to our guy.
Shout out to our guy. That's such a good point. Here's the olive bread. Such a good point.
Accepted.
There we go. Thanks. So now you can't say that you only bring comical things to this podcast because you bring amazing, insightful points.
Wow. Okay. Girl, thank you.
You do it all.
That's right. I'm blushing. Okay.
All right.
That's just so wild to still absorb. Like,
let's keep going. Let's keep going.
Just the evil D though was not maybe qualified with the vision to be able to do it.
Because in some ways he had the intelligence to say, not me, give it to somebody else. And somebody who's greedy, somebody who's I think also we have to understand that these men were given so much spiritual knowledge, right? But it's just what they did with it. So they were intelligent men. Men who understood spirituality, but they couldn't quite put it into practice at all times. Right.
And at that time, maybe even the most corrupt man was the most pious man of nowadays, you know?
Oh, man.
That's real.
Maybe that's not like, okay, there's someone like Radhana Swami who's totally pious, but I'm just thinking like majority. Of men,
Perspective. Yeah, for sure.
And women.
Women. Everyone's included. Okay.
Perfect.
All right. Text 12.
Sorry. I just wanted to say one quick thing.
Of course.
Priya, when in the beginning you kind of said that when you gave the explanation of what all expanding means, when I asked, that totally is spot on because Prabhupada in the purport said that one significant word that keeps popping up in these past two verses was the word many, which indicates there's no limit. It just is ever expanding. Like imagine ever expanding hands, mouths, legs, and just all of these manifestations that Arjuna was only able to see from sitting in one spot. Like these are manifestations that are spread throughout the whole universe and beyond, but Arjuna could see it from one spot with that spiritual vision. Mm-hmm. I think that's very cool.
Yeah. No, that's so good. Okay. Text 12, Shyamali.
Okay. If hundreds of thousands of suns were to rise at once into the sky, their radiance might resemble the effulgence of the Supreme Person in that universal form.
Read that one more time.
That's Sanjaya speaking. What a poet. Our guy Sanjaya, he says, if hundreds of thousands of suns were to rise at once into the sky, their radiance might resemble the effulgence of the Supreme Person in that universal form.
Oof. Guys, have you ever been an idiot and just looked at the sun?
Yeah.
So
you're blind.
And so beautiful, right? Like so, like the sun is one of my favorite things in the world because it does directly remind me of Krishna. And like, you know how you feel when like the sun is out, it's just everything is just happier and lively and just
totally
just 100%. You just wait for the sun to come
really
out, right?
It's gray and foggy and I'm struggling.
Exactly, right? And literally after like a week, we just got the sun today and it just lightened my mood. It was just amazing. So like imagine hundreds of thousands of suns were to rise at once in the sky. Can you just picture that for a second? It's already burning my retinas, but can you imagine the joy and the light and the power?
Wow.
The power of one sun is insane. Yeah. Can you imagine hundreds of thousands of suns?
Wow. And no, I couldn't. That, I don't think I could.
It was rhetorical, but thank you. No, but you know what I mean? Like, it's just like, that is like, I love this verse. Because the gravity of this verse is so powerful.
Yeah.
The way he explained it also, like, it felt so real.
Yeah.
And here in the purport, it's a small one. So I'm just going to read the whole thing. Mm-hmm. It says, what Arjuna saw was indescribable. Yet Sanjaya is trying to give a mental picture of what that great revelation to Dhritarashtra, the king. Neither Sanjaya nor the king were present, but Sanjaya, by the grace of his guru, could see what happened. Thus, he now compares the situation, as far as it can be understood, to an imaginable phenomenon, i.e. thousands of suns.
Right.
So he's in real time, not only able to see it, but able to describe it in a way that we can relate to it, that when you read it, I felt it. I was like, wow, what a magnificent...
You got it.
magnificence.
Yeah.
spectacle.
Yeah. I can't even put it to words. I don't know what he's doing.
It's indescribable. Yeah. What Arjuna saw was indescribable.
Incredible.
Like we said, that just shows so much of who Sanjaya is. The fact that he could do that real time, as you said, like Prabhupada real is acknowledging Sanjaya there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, have you ever tried to translate a song that you're hearing real time in another language? Like, I've heard Spanish songs and I'll be like, here, I'll translate it for you to my English friend. And real time, it starts getting so like deep and poetic that I'm like, I don't know. Just wait. But just
pause,
one second.
Pause. Let me think about it.
Yeah. So I was just like, Sanjaya does it in such a poetic, beautiful way.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if that was part of the sort of the power that he was given, or if that was his like natural instinct. Like, I'm really curious about Sanjaya now.
Yeah.
I'm sure if you hear the whole Mahabharata, maybe it'll hint at who Sanjaya was as a person, because I think regardless, it takes a great personality to be entrusted with this power. So
yeah,
I don't know.
I think it's also important just for us on a daily basis, like just for that, so that we're also constantly remembering Krishna, is that when we do see the sun in the sky, right? And we do, you know, like get that happy feeling, because it is, you walk outside and you see the sun for the first time, like after you've brushed your teeth, you got ready to go to work or whatever, or school, whatever, and you see the sun, and that there is that feeling of like bliss that you, that first glimpse into the sun, right? So I think it's important for us just to use that moment to like say thank you to Krishna, right? Because Krishna also is the power of 100,000 suns, right? In his universal form. So just taking those moments throughout the day to be like, okay, thank you, Krishna, for being here, guiding me.
Amazing. I love that.
Beautiful. Yeah.
Wow. Should we go on?
What a beautiful verse.
Text 13.
I'm like so excited to continue hearing about the universal form.
I love this chapter. Can we just pause for a second? This chapter is pretty epic.
It is super epic. Literally. So
cool. I love it.
Okay, let's go. Chapter, text 13.
Who is that? Oh, sorry.
You're good.
Yeah, I didn't know who was speaking either. So thanks for paying attention.
We zone out of our own podcast. We're so in the story.
Okay.
Priya.
Is it me? No, I'm doubting everything.
Yeah. Do it. Okay, just do it.
Text 13. At that time, Arjuna could see in the universal form of the Lord the unlimited expansions of the universe situated in one place, although divided into many, many thousands.
Okay, one more time.
Yes. At that time, Arjuna could see in the universal form of the Lord the unlimited expansions of the universe situated in one place, although divided into many, many thousands. So he's saying like he could see like all the different universes.
Yeah.
I think Prabhupada explains in the purport, he says the word tatra, which means there, is very significant because it shows that both Krishna and Arjuna were sitting on the chariot when Arjuna saw the universal form. So meaning like others on the battlefield, they couldn't see the form because Krishna gave the vision only to Arjuna.
And then he goes on to say, as we learn from Vedic scriptures, there are many universes and many planets. Some of them are made of earth, some of them are made of gold, and some of them are made of jewels. Some are very great and some are not so great, etc. Sitting on his chariot, Arjuna could see all these, but no one could understand what was going on between Arjuna and Krishna.
Wow.
So he saw all of these planets within Krishna's body. Like,
The expansion of, that is insane. Because you ever seen those memes like on social media sometimes when you're having a bad day and it's like, take a step backwards, right? And then you see the country that you're in and then the planet that you're on. And then you see the universe and it's like, oh, you're just so insignificant that like nothing that's going on is like crazy in the grand sphere of this entire universe.
Right.
Now imagine multiple universes,
right?
And Arjuna's ability to see all the planets and all the universes. That's amazing.
My mind would be breaking.
Like literally.
I think like comprehending that much information.
I would just be in the fetal position on the battlefield. Be like, oh my God, I don't know what to do with all this information.
Thanks now. Anxiety attack. Thousands of times worse.
Manifestation.
Existential crisis.
Unlimited expansions of my anxiety.
But that's why, I mean, our physical bodies right now are so limited and incapable of actually experiencing God, you know?
Wow.
In all its forms, all
that's
his forms.
So real. Let's keep going.
One question. The line where it says Arjuna could see in the body of Krishna many thousands of planets. So Krishna, like how do I say this? Krishna, Arjuna's friend, Krishna, when he's standing on the chariot, he still is Krishna with his like universal form behind him, right? Not that Krishna, ooh, Arjuna's friend.
Ooh, let's look at plate 11.
I mean, plate 11, it makes me think that Krishna was still Krishna.
Okay, let's call him universal form versus just Krishna, the best friend.
I like
friend.
Krishna.
Okay, fine. That's not confusing at all.
Okay, let's go to plate 11.
Okay, so in plate 11, right, he can still see Krishna, and behind him, he can see all of the different manifestations.
Wow. That's really cool. So Krishna is like, and I love that in plate 11 that Krishna is also like showcasing with his hand, like as if Krishna is in a museum of other Krishnas. And like, he's like, by the way, look at this. This is the new, so like, you know, look at all my expansions. And he's showcasing as if he's like a tour guide at a museum. It's
I
like,
love it.
This is it. And I love it.
That's
it
so funny.
Great.
I think I love, there's, I'm just looking at all the details of this picture. I love the rainbow. I don't know why it's there, but it's magical. And I'm so
also
happy.
I love the rainbow, but for other reasons.
Yes, yes. And then I love seeing Krishna's different faces. Like, it's like some of them are older and some of them are younger. And it's so cool. That's a picture to look at for a long time.
Yeah, some of them have fire coming out of the mouth. Some of them just have a cool mustache. Like, it's just, there's a lot of different demigods.
Super cool.
Yeah.
Super cool. Mm. Okay. Does that answer your question, Shamli?
I think so. Yeah, definitely. That's what I thought. But then hearing that, I got confused all over again.
Okay.
It's just so much to take in.
Yeah. For sure.
And another thing I love from the purport, because it mentions the word planet, okay? So as we learn from Vedic scriptures, there are many universes and many planets. So not just this universe that has like 8 or 9 planets, depending on who you talk to, right? It's like there's so many universes beyond just this universe. And I love that Prabhupada was like, some of them are made of earth. Some of them are made of gold. Some of them are made of jewels. And some of them are great. Some of them not so great.
You're a subpar planet. Sorry.
but isn't that so cool? Like the Vedas talks about all these different kinds of planets.
Yeah.
And all of them are Krishna.
And we picked an earth one. What were we doing? We should have picked the gold one.
I would have loved. Yeah. Or the one jewels? With like, yeah, winter dogs or something.
Candies?
Yeah.
I don't know. Sure. Yeah. Whatever. Yeah. Anyways, can we go on? I'm so excited, guys.
Okay.
Text 14.
Yeah. Text 14. Right.
Shama Sangeeta.
That's me. Okay. Sorry. Then, Sanjaya is continuing. Then, bewildered and astonished, his hair standing on end, Arjuna bowed his head to offer obeisances and with folded hands began to pray to the Supreme Lord.
Wow.
Oh, that like,
wow.
Oh.
That got my feels.
Read it again.
That got me in my feels too. That's good. Okay, so Sanjaya says, then, bewildered and astonished, his hair standing on end, Arjuna bowed his head to offer obeisances and with folded hands began to pray to the Supreme Lord.
Wow.
Just take a moment. Just a moment, just picture that in your head. Like literally God is showcasing his divine, like unlimited form of everything that he is. Like literally you see universes in front of you, millions of demigods. You see everything that Krishna is. And all Arjuna does is just bow his head and realize the power of what's going on right now.
Wow.
Isn't that so beautiful?
It made me want to like bow my head and be like, oh my gosh, Krishna. Like
wherever you are, please just bow your head. If you're driving, please don't do that. But wherever you are, it's just think of that imagery, you know?
Yeah, I'm also so grateful to be able to see it with my limited eyes through Sanjaya's words, right? Because who else gets to hear something like this, right? I don't know. It's just, it's really powerful to me to hear Arjuna's realization and Krishna's magnificence to this degree. I love the detail. And Prabhupada goes on to say, he goes, once the divine vision is revealed, the relationship between Krishna and Arjuna changes immediately.
Wow.
Before, Krishna and Arjuna had a relationship based on friendship. But here, after the revelation, Arjuna is offering obeisances with great respect and with folded hands, he is praying to Krishna.
Uh-huh.
He is praising the universal form. Arjuna's relationship has become one of wonder rather than friendship.
Wow.
Yeah, keep going. This is great.
Yeah, keep going.
Yeah, keep going.
Great devotees see Krishna as the reservoir of all relationships. In the scriptures, there are 12 basic kinds of relationships mentioned. All of them are present in Krishna. It is said that he, Krishna, is the ocean of all the relationships exchanged between two loving, living entities, between the gods or between the Supreme Lord and his devotees. Wow.
Yeah.
This, I feel like we got to keep reading.
Keep going. Yeah.
Okay. Here, Arjuna was inspired by the relationship of wonder. And in that wonder, although he was by nature very sober, calm, and quiet, he became ecstatic. His hair stood up, and he began to offer his obeisances unto the Supreme Lord with folded hands. He was not, of course, afraid. He was affected by the wonders of the Supreme Lord. The immediate context is wonder. His natural loving friendship was overwhelmed by wonder, and thus he reacted in this way.
Wow.
Wow.
Oof.
That there's so much there. I love the thought that all of the different types of relationships exist in the ocean that is the Supreme Lord. He contains it all.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they mentioned this some time ago. It's like Krishna can be your father, your mother, your brother, your sibling of any kind, your lover. Like there's so many different types of relationship that we see in the material world. Mm. And he represents all of those in a purer form.
Yeah. I used to have this friend that I used to work with. His name was Noah. And he was a videographer. And I once asked Noah, I was like, hey, Noah, like, what are you trying to achieve with, like, he makes a lot of documentary films and whatnot. I was like, what are you trying to achieve with, like, all these films that you're doing? Mm-hmm. And he said one thing to me. He said, I just want people to experience goosebumps. Mm-hmm. And I was like, why? He's like, goosebumps is the only thing that you can't manufacture. You know, it's like literally the one thing that like is your body is in such awe that that it produces that one thing. And that's what I want my people to, when they view my films, to feel, right? Mm. Because goosebumps when your hair, like, and goosebumps causes your hair to raise, as Sanjaya is saying. It's like that one thing that is just your body experiences something so powerful, an emotion so powerful that it does that. And like that is what happened.
I love that. Wow, what a great realization that he had.
Yeah.
You should send him this episode after. Be like,
I will.
Haven't heard from you in ages, but I talked about you on air.
Isn't that wild?
Thousands of people.
Like literally that's what our body does when we experience this intense emotion.
Yeah.
Goosebumps, yeah.
Wow. It's true.
Wow. Wow. And you know, it's interesting because Priya, you said we had talked about that before, the different types of relationships we can have with Krishna. From what I remember back then, we had said six different types, right, of relationships. But here it says 12. So maybe here they're also including like the relationship of awe, of wonder, of love. They're counting everything in the mix, you know?
Oh, cool.
I don't know.
Maybe. That's potentially true. Maybe we might learn more.
And I love the thought of how he just... So many times we enter a temple and we just bow down so mechanically, right? Just okay, it's part of the process. But here he bowed down in the full, he folded his hands and began to pray, offering his, like putting his head on the floor in the full sense of what that means. It's a meaning of like, wow, like you're just, I don't know how to put it to words, but he was, that movement was so inspired by the feeling rather than just kind of doing it for the ritualistic sake, you know?
Mm, yeah. I've gone through sort of different stages of like when I bow down and like, you know, pay obeisances.
Right.
I think it has been mechanic for some times. And then there were other times in which I felt disconnected when I was doing it. And I was like, I need to find something closer. And so I started finding prayers that I could say, like, obviously sometimes you just, you know, like there's many things you could say,
right,
but I would find prayers specifically to the deities that were near me or like, so in Houston, we have a Giriraj deity, which is basically Krishna in the form of Govardhan Hill, like the hill that Krishna lifted with his pinky.
Yep. Mm.
And there's like one. And so I learned the mantra specifically for him. Oh. And then I would say that and I felt a little more connected. And now it's shifted back to more gratitude.
Mm.
And so it just kind of just to share my thought process because other people might be wondering what to do. Well, when I pay obeisances now, I'm in a sense of gratitude for being able to be a part of the community.
Mm.
And because I feel so grateful. And so I'm always like, you know, basically, Hi, Krishna. I say Jai Shri Shri and then, you know, Gorni Thai, Sri Rukmini Dwarkadish, Jagannath Baladev and Subhadra. And then I'm like, thank you so much for allowing me to be here. And that's sort of my, so even though the initial thought process of, oh, I got to pay obeisances might be mechanic, like try to find a way to make it connected.
Right.
And so just so like obeisance is very ISKCON term. So just if you're not familiar with that term, obeisance just means a movement of the body made in token of respect or submission or like a bow, right? Mm. So just like, cause I've never heard that word before.
That's
joining
fair.
ISKCON. That's, and so like obeisance is literally just means to bow, right? To offer respect to.
Yes. Mm. And we usually do that when we enter a temple, right in front of the deities, which is like the physical forms of Krishna, like the statues.
Right. Yeah. Like in movies, let's say, I don't know, warrior movies, samurai movies, you'll see when a great warrior earns that, all of the warriors around will all of a sudden bow collectively in respect. It's something that they earn. So with Krishna, it's something that, boom, Arjuna's like, whoa, you're not just my friend and cousin. Mm. You are Krishna.
Yeah.
And bow.
Yeah. And I think, I think just to tag on what you were saying, Priya, is like, what can we do in our day-to-day lives when we are bowing down or offering respect in whatever way we want to? Mm. I think gratitude is a big thing for me. I don't chant mantras, but like whenever I enter the temple and like I bow down, like I try to think of something I'm grateful for while I'm bowing so that it just feels like, okay, like this is everything in my life was given to me from Krishna. And so Krishna, thank you so much for X, Y, Z while I'm in the process of bowing down.
I love that.
Beautiful. Yeah,
that's
beautiful.
Awesome. All do you think of something when you bow down, Shamli?
Yeah.
I think make it up if you don't. I know we put you on the spot.
That's true.
No. I think I love, Priya, what you said, that trying to say something that adds meaning to it. Because I say the prayers, Namam Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Prasaya Bhutale, Shrimate Kadamba Kanana Swami Tinamane. Then for me, it's three because my guru's guru is still alive. Then Namam Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Prasaya Bhutale, Guru Dasjaya Dwaita Swami Tinamane. And then the third, it becomes long. Namam Vishnu Padaya, Krishna. I'm down there longer than most people.
How long are you on the floor?
There for a while. Because Namam Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Prasaya Bhutale, Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tinamane. And then Namaste Saraswati Devi Gora. Because like normally you're basically, that's a prayer you're offering like gratitude for the lineage, for your gurus. And since my guru's guru is still alive, that's why they tacked on the third one. And it becomes longer than most who they only have their guru alive. So wow. I'm there for a while. But I love what Priya said, because I had a conversation with my dad about this a while ago, that he was saying more and more when you say these mantras, sometimes since they're in Sanskrit, it's easy to just gloss over and just say it. But then the deeper you go, you say it slower, with more gravity, with more weight, you start realizing what am I saying here? Mm. And it is about gratitude. I'm gratitude to be connected to this lineage, like Priya said, this community, to have a line of teachers that are so connected to such deep truths of this world. Or Shama, like you said, thank you, my lords, you're in front of me. Like, so all of these things are encompassed in these prayers. So as I'm saying these things, I try to bring that to the awareness. Mm-hmm. So
I love that.
Yeah.
Thank you for that reminder.
Yeah, that is beautiful.
That was you guys, the reminders. So thank you guys.
Yeah, this is just a good reminder for all of us. Like whenever we see something that reminds us of Krishna, just like to offer respects in our head too, you know? Yeah. Because like this is such a beautiful imagery, right? Of like he saw everything and all that he could do was bow down and fold his hands.
Yeah.
Like that is like the most simple thing to do, but the most beautiful thing.
And I love, Priya, how you had said when you enter it, bottom line is kind of like, hi, Krishna, kind of just like a greeting, like take away all of the complicated things. And what are we're saying? Hi, Krishna. Jai, Krishna. Hello. Thank you. Wow. I get to see you.
Yeah.
And it's thanks to my gurus that I'm connected to this line. So I get to see you. And I remember this just reminded me of when you read any books about Prabhupada, a lot of the newer devotees would ask stuff like all these complicated questions about putting Krishna to sleep or doing this or doing that. And sometimes Prabhupada would be like, no, you're putting the Lord to sleep. What would you do? You kind of like he's simplifying into like, we have to actually think, what are we doing? So sometimes when I put my deities to sleep, I just kind of do it very spontaneously. And I don't know.
Sing a little nursery rhyme.
Goodbye, baby. No, but I sometimes like, I don't know. You develop a relationship. How would you put someone to tuck them into bed who you love?
Right. I mean, even like what you're saying, exactly what you're saying. It's like when you enter someone's home, you say, hi, thank you for inviting me. Like you don't just walk in and like do whatever you want to do.
So what do I do when I enter the home? Say hi. I don't know. Yeah.
You know, so I think it's the same idea when you enter a temple, you're saying hi to the people who are there.
Right.
Who
right.
live there. Mm. So somebody else also sets to me to think of it as like, if you were to go to a king's home, how would you show, like, would you just walk yourself in there and just do whatever you want? Or would you greet them politely with respect and then behave in a certain way? And so I think those are kind of the concepts. If we want to see Krishna as like your Lord and you with, you know, awe and reverence, or if you want to see Krishna as your friend who's inviting you into his home, either way, we show some sort of gratefulness, yeah. gratitude, yeah. appreciation, and just like,
yeah. Yeah.
Or if you see Krishna as like what Shyamali mentioned is like, as like a child or like someone that you have to tuck in at night, and then that relationship changes and it's really just sweet and soft and beautiful.
That's why I think, Priya, just when you said, hi, Krishna, that encapsulates so much. Like, when I tuck my DDs into bed, I don't make it a whole formal thing. I just sometimes like, I don't know, I'm about to take off Krishna's crown and I think, oh, maybe Krishna, did your head hurt a little? And I kind of massage his little head and then I tuck him in. Is that good? Or, oh, maybe it's a little hot. And I don't know. You're just trying to develop a relationship.
100%. I love that.
Like, strip it all away from these complicated mantras that maybe you don't connect to. And it's nice to say the mantras, but just think, what am I doing here?
Yeah. Mm. Actually, I'll share a little. So basically, Abhijit and I have deities at home and we'll dress them. But usually it's me. I'm usually the one that dress them. And the last time we did it together, he was like, well, what do I do? Mm-hmm. And I was like, what do you mean? Like, you're just, you know, changing them. And like, you just, you know, like they're people. They're like your little kids, if you want to think of it that way.
Yeah.
Or, and all of that. And then he's like, yeah, but like, what do you do? And I was like, well, I usually massage their bodies just because they must be tired of holding their hands like that.
Yeah.
And then like, you know, like I just wipe everywhere because they must be a little dirty. And then like, you know, I just put their clothes back on and they make, you know, just like, I just kind of walked them through my process. But it was very, it wasn't like, okay, so you have to do this in this way and this in that way. It wasn't a strict formal thing. It's really a relationship that you're building and like doing it with love. And I got to say, if you see our deities, they're going to change their clothes soon. But the turbans, Abhijit made the nicest turban our deities have ever worn.
Oh, wow.
And that was just from pure love from his heart. So it's all about the heart, you know?
Yeah.
And just seeing Krishna as someone you love and someone you respect. Mm-hmm. And well, in this case, Arjuna, seeing Krishna with so much awe.
Yeah.
That is so beautiful. So I remember like when I was a kid, I used to see my mom like knitting these scarves for the deities. And as a kid, I didn't know. Like, I was just like, okay, cool. They're like little statues in our house, you know, like, but then over time I've understood the philosophy and I understood that all she did was because she loved Krishna, right? And it was in these small moments that she was building that relationship with them, right?
Beautiful.
And then she would take the little scarves that she knitted and she would put them on all of the deities in the wintertime. And now I do that because I was just watching her for the longest time thinking she was a crazy lady. And now I've become that lady.
That's so sweet.
I love that.
Krishna just wants our love. Like, what do you give someone who has everything? It will do, I mean, it does some good. I was about to say, it does you no good to do all of the steps of service if you don't do it with love. You'll still benefit. You will benefit, but better to then do whatever you can do with love.
Yeah, for sure. That actually drives me a little crazy sometimes when people are so like, I mean, the rules and the rituals are very important. Don't get me wrong. But if you take the heart and the love and the heart and the love, right?
Yeah.
If you don't do all of those things with love, then there's no point. Like, Krishna is not going to receive that, right? All he cares about, he's not caring about if you're crossing the T's and dotting the I's of all the rituals. Like, he just cares about the intention in your heart.
Yeah,
for sure.
Beautiful.
Wow. Okay.
All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to start the next episode. Chapter 11, text number
15.
Thank you so much for listening, everybody.
See you next time.
Bye.
Bye. Hello, beautiful souls. If you like what you're hearing, please follow us on Instagram at Modern Yogi Podcast.
And if you love what you're hearing, please make sure to share a link to our podcast at Modern Yogi Podcast with all your friends, families, and long-lost cousins.
And if you have any questions at all, send us a DM on Instagram at Modern Yogi Podcast, and we'll be sure to get back to you.
Thank you for listening to
The Modern Yogi.